Luke chapter 15, and let's begin reading in verse number 1, and I'll bring a few thoughts for you this morning. Hopefully it'll be a help, blessing to you, I hope. Luke chapter 15, look at verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, and saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Amen. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? When she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost.' Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Now, I'm not going to read the rest of this particular parable because you're familiar with it. But the next part of that parable is a certain man had two sons. And one of those sons was the prodigal son. He told his dad, he said, "Give me all that you owe me, and I'm going." And he goes off and he spends all that he has in riotous living. And then he wakes up and he says, he comes to himself and he says, "There's hired servants in my house living better than I am. Let me get up and go." And he got up. He kicked the pail, jumped the rail, hit the trail, and went home. That's what he did. But here we see in Luke 15, one parable in three different views of the same parable. There's not three different parables. It's one parable viewed in three different ways. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. A good number of folks here today, thank you for them coming for whatever reason. And I pray that you'd help us now the next few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Let me draw your attention to Luke chapter number 15. The main theme of Luke 15 is the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which is lost. And when someone gets saved, after they've been found, after they once was lost, but now they're found, was blind, but now they see, heaven rejoices over that. Amen. Heaven rejoices when you got saved. Heaven rejoices when anybody gets saved. I want you to draw your attention. Look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, about verse number 16. The Bible says there was a certain man made a great supper and bade many. In other words, he invited a lot of people. Sent his servants in supper times to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all with one consent began to make. That's the day we're living in today. The first said, "I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray that you have me excused." Another said, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I've married a wife and I'm henpecked and I can't come." I mean, it's there. You just sort of have to read it. That's in the white part. In between the lines, you know. I had to wake some of you up. Some of you did a little elbowing on that too. Don't miss the point. Luke chapter 14. You see earth's madness. Earth's madness. Everybody's busy, 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 busy. Everybody's going this. Everybody's making excuses. "I want you to come. I've got to do this. I just can't come. I can't come. I've got to work. I've got to do this. I can't come." Busy, busy, busy. Then Luke 14, that's where we're living. Earth's madness. The earth is mad, running to and fro everywhere you go. Nobody knows where they're going. Nobody's interested in the things of God. Nobody's interested in getting saved. Nobody's interested in nothing. But sometimes the political world, they're all interested in that. We need to get interested in the things of the Bible. Because the book of Revelation is coming wide open before our very eyes. Earth's madness, busy, busy, busy. People are not interested. One excuse right after the other. But I'll tell you this, we're going to stand before a holy God one day and we'll give an account for the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. You won't stand in front of your mama, you won't stand in front of your daddy, your grandmother, your granddaddy. You're going to stand before a holy and just God all by yourself. Nobody's going to get you out of it. Nobody's going to be able to pay you out of it. You're going to stand, every person in the building will stand before a holy God. Busy, busy, busy. I understand. I'm busy. I have more on my plate than I can do. Busy, busy, busy. But we must take time to find out about the things of God. Luke 14, Earth's madness. And then you'll find in Luke 16, you'll find a story about a man, a rich man, dies and goes to hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. In Luke 14, we have the earth's madness. Luke 16, we have hell's sadness. Oh, it's sad. And I know some of you cringed a little bit when I said hell. Well, I'll be honest. The preachers of old, you heard about hell in church more than you did on TV. That's when people were getting saved by the droves, when preachers would sweat. And I'm talking about pull their coat off and their shirt be wringing wet because they were preaching and they're trying to compel people not to go to this awful place called hell. Luke 14, you've got earth's madness. Luke 16, you've got hell's sadness. It's a sad place. It's an awful place. It's a place prepared for unprepared people. If you get saved, you got a home in heaven. If you don't, my friend, if heaven is real, hell is real. But Luke 14, you got earth's madness. Busy, 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 busy. Luke 16, you got hell's sadness. And right in between, sandwiched in, is Luke 15, heaven's gladness. Right between the earth's madness, right between hell's sadness, you know what makes heaven happy? It's when a lost person is found by the grace of God and snatched out of the jaws of hell and placed into the body of Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, takes an old sinner, washes him in red blood, makes him whiter than snow. There's not but one person that can do that, and that's Jesus Christ. There's not a church that can do that. Listen, it don't matter what the name of the door is. If you go up, the name's going to fall off. If you go down, the name's going to burn off. Don't make any difference what the name is over the door. You better know Him. And right in between earth's madness, hell's sadness, you got heaven's gladness. Have you ever lost anything? Sometimes you'll have your glasses sitting on top of your head like that, and you're looking all over for your glasses. Y'all seen my glasses? They're on top of your head. Oh, there they are. Sometimes I lose things, I misplace, and this is one of my pet peeves. I ask to say, "Hey, have you seen my Sunday dress slippers?" And this just gets all over me. My wife or one of the kids say, "Where'd you have them last?" If I knew that, I'd go get them. I mean, somebody help me. But you lose things. And I heard about a story. The boss man was calling his worker, called his house. A little 7-8-year-old boy answered the phone. "Hello." The boss man said, "Hey, is your daddy home?" Said, "Yeah." "Can I talk to him?" "No, he's busy." I said, "Well, is your mama home?" "Yes." "Can I speak to her?" "No, she's busy talking to the policeman." "Well, can I talk to the policeman?" "No, they're busy. They're waiting on the fireman to get here." By then, the boss man is getting real disturbed, and all of a sudden, in the background on the phone, he hears a helicopter hovering over the house. And he's like, "Son, is that a helicopter out here?" "Yes." "What in the world is going on? Why can't anybody come to the phone?" He said, "They're looking for me." Have you ever been lost? You ever lost one of your kids? Especially mine growing up, you'd go into Walmart or the JCPenney or somewhere, and you had the, back then you had the clothes rack, the circular clothes racks, and they would wedge up into them things, and you'd lose them. You couldn't find them. Man, they'd be up under them clothes. You'll look for days and can't find them until they decide to come out. Losing. And it's an awful feeling to lose something that you cherish. Lose something that is precious to you. Notice verse number 1, chapter 15. Heaven's gladness. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmuring, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Can I draw 3 points real quick in the first 2 verses before we even get in the message? This is all introduction. We're going to be here a while. But if you notice this right here, it says, "Then drew unto him all publicans and sinners." When you get saved, ladies and gentlemen, you are drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. He draws you. It's like casting a net out into the sea and drawing, trying to catch fish. At one time when I was a 10-year-old boy, Trinity Baptist Church right over here by Hickathorn, I was a lost little boy, and my daddy was a preacher. 10-year-old boy, the Holy Spirit started tugging and pulling and drawing, saying, "Hey, you need to be saved." I remember that. I'm thankful for the drawing and the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. If that's never happened to you, my friend, you better check up. I talked to a person one time. I said, "Are you saved on your way to heaven?" "Oh, yeah, I've always been saved." "You hadn't always been saved." There has to be a time in your life where you realized, "I was lost and I can't save myself." Right. And I cried out to a holy God, said, "God, please save me."
Right.
There better be a time. You don't have to be in church. You don't have to be. You better have a time and place like that where he draws. The Bible says, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me." He didn't say all nations, said all men. If he wanted to say all nations, he said all nations. He said all men unto me. Drawing in the nets. He knew who you were and what you were, and he still drew you unto himself. That's enough to shout a little while.
Yeah, amen.
But not only that, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners." Not only does he draw you, he receives sinners. Right. Isn't that good? The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Receiving sinners. Not only that, I got to hurry. Watch this. He receives the sinners and eateth with them. Well, listen, he told Zacchaeus. He said, "Zacchaeus, you don't know Zacchaeus. There was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see." And Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste and come down, for I'm going to your house today."
Amen.
There's something about when the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, draws you, and then he receives you, and then he says, "I want to eat with you." That's what the Pharisees and the publicans, Pharisees and Sadducees were murmuring with themselves, saying, "He's going home and eating with sinners." See, we got this idea that everybody don't dress like us, if everybody don't smell like us, if everybody don't live on the same side of the tracks we do, they don't need to be saved. We're the only ones that need to be saved. We're good, they're bad. My friend, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody has to be saved. It don't matter what, black, white, yellow, brown, all of them are precious in His sight. Hallelujah. He draws, He receives. And then He goes home and eats with them. But here's what I want to get to. My introduction's real long, the message real short. Here's a parable, one parable. Three stories in one parable. You have a shepherd going and looking for a sheep. You have a woman going and looking for a silver. And then you have a father waiting to receive his lost son. You have a lost sheep. You have a lost silver, and you have a lost son. These three parables, or excuse me, these three areas of this one parable deal firstly with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe, the Bible teaches that we believe in one God. But He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You should explain it. It's hard for me to explain. But some of you in this room call me pastor. Some people call me Brother Jeremy. My wife, who is sick at home, she calls me husband and some other things I won't say. And I've got three children in this room right now that call me daddy. But I'm just one person. But everybody calls me something different. I'm just one person. We believe in one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Water, H2O, works the same way. You've got a solid. You freeze it in the freezer. You've got a solid. That's ice cubes. That's water. Then you turn the faucet on. You got water dripping out the faucet. That's liquid. It's still water. Help me now. I know you thought we was in science class or something. And then you put that water on the stove. You turn the heat up. You heat that up and it starts steaming. That's a picture of God the Holy Spirit. It's still water, but it's solid liquid gas. He's still one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so this first little section, you see Jesus Christ, the Son, the Good Shepherd, John 10. I am the Good Shepherd. He goes and looks for the sheep. You see, the Son is searching for the sheep. He goes looking. He goes looking everywhere. And then in the next little section of the parable, you've got this woman. She's over there sweeping. She's got a light. She's holding the light up. She's a sweeping. And you got one lost silver over here that the Holy Spirit is seeking for. You got the Son searching, you got the Holy Spirit seeking, and He's pulling behind a chair, He's a looking, He's a sweeping up dust. You know why sometimes we don't see a lot of people getting saved anymore? Because preachers are scared to stir up dust. Well, you're looking at one, I ain't scared to stir up something. I don't want to be just one of these. I want to preach the truth, thus saith the Lord. Listen, you don't believe in hell, that don't mean there ain't one. Just because you don't believe in it don't mean there ain't so. Hell's hot whether you believe it or not. Poison kills whether you believe it or not. Amen. Don't matter what you believe, if what you believe ain't so. And you got the Son looking for the sheep. You got the Spirit looking for the silver. And then you got the Father. He's stayed at home. Waiting to receive. Well, hallelujah. If I ain't mistaken, I think the Father stayed up there and sent the Son. Y'all not helping me. You say, what kind of church is it? Baptist-costal? I got news for you. Baptists were shouting a long time before Pentecostals ever thought about shouting. And we need to get back to a life. People don't want to come to a dead church. If you want to go to the funeral home, we got several funeral homes in town. You go to a funeral home. You come to church, we come to church. But the Father stayed at the house. And he sent the Son to go searching. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to go seeking. And the Father stayed at home waiting to receive everything they found. Thank the Lord, one day he come looking for me.
Amen.
Yes, that picture's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit right there, all three of them. But not only does it picture God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but it pictures the three areas of a sinner. You got a lost sheep, lost in the distance. Lost sheep done wandered off. Sometimes sheep do that. They just can't help it. They just, and isn't it odd? I won't try to motivate you, but sometimes it's hard. Because sometimes God just, you know, when we get really thinking we're something, he'll knock the props out under us. And he compares us to sheep. And we're like, man, that's good. No, that ain't good. Sheep are dumb. Sheep go wandering off and you just can't, I mean, they can't see but about 5 foot in front of them. They get 5 foot away, they can't find the shepherd. That shepherd will tap that, he goes around them rocks and he'll tap that staff so they can hear. So they'll know they'll be able to follow. Because about 5 foot in front of them, they get blurry. They can't see. They're dumb. They just wander off. The Bible says, Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. Some people just wander off. Sometimes we've had people here and they'll wander off. Say, where'd they go? I don't know. They just got wander off. Maybe they got their feelings hurt. I don't know. They just wander off. They're just dumb. Well, preacher, I wouldn't have said that. Well, that's why the Lord called me. I mean, we are, me, just dumb. Sometimes we just, you know, you put food on the table, you have good music like we have, in the Word, you put food on the table. Man, people will run off to the Super Bowl or something, you know. Just dumb stuff. Dumb stuff. I thought this would go over better, but it ain't. But hey, it's a picture of the sheep just wandering off. Lost in the distance. But then you got some people that, like that second section of the parable, is lost in the dirt. You got some people just lost in the distance. They just wandered off. But you got some people that's living in the dirt. They're on dope. They're on drugs. They're on alcohol. They're going all this kind of stuff. And we think those are the only people that need to be saved. Them sheep out in the distance need to be saved just like the one in the dirt needs to be saved. And so this woman, the Holy Spirit, she goes to look it, and she takes a light and a broom. You know what the preacher's supposed to do on Sunday morning? Bring the light. And the broom. Amen. And stir up some dust. You ain't gonna find nobody in the dirt till you stir up some dust. This woman wasn't gonna find. You know, a lot of people got this flat. I don't care if you vacuum out here in the open. Just, you know, don't get behind the chairs and the couch and don't get behind there. They'll tell you what you'll find. And when you do, you'll find quarters, dimes, nickels. Sometimes you got to go back to where is out of plain view. And this woman had the light. She had the sweep. She's stirring up dust. She said, look at that. There's a lost silver. A lost piece of silver. Sometimes people don't know they're lost. Sometimes they're lost and don't know it. You say, what about these people out on the, you know, and I'm world's worst. I know we got, you know, the sheriff here, and I just confess all my sins. Sometimes people pull out in front of me. I get beside myself. I'm a preacher. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But sometimes I forget. And they pull out in front of me, and they throw the hand up, and they ain't got but one finger sticking up. Somebody help me. I don't know about y'all, but that goes all over me. And I'm like, I'm running them off the road. Let them call the police. I'm running them off the road. And I get to thinking, I get to thinking, Jeremy, they may not know the Lord like you do.
Yeah. That's right.
Come on.
They may be lost and just don't know it.
That's right.
Nobody's ever showed them. Nobody's ever told them about the Lord. Nobody's ever told them about you. They're lost in the dirt over here and they don't know. They don't understand. Sometimes you just have to realize it. Sometimes people don't know the Lord like we do. And sometimes we have to give them a little leeway that normally we wouldn't allow, but we have to give them a little leeway because they need to be told, just like you were, just like I was. And some folks, the father, the third section of that little parable, that boy was raised in a good godly home. He was raised in church. He was lost sitting on the church pew. We got this idea that only the sheep that are now lost in the distance are they the ones that... Not only the silver over here that's lost in the dirt needs to be saved. Oh no, only... Hey, there's people sitting in this room right now that's probably lost. On a church. They got a good mama, a good daddy. Raised them in church. You can be lost from a church pew. Your daddy can be a preacher and you be lost. I mean, your grandmother could have been the best prayer in three centuries and you could still be lost. You could be lost sitting on a church seat, pew, whatever. You have three different areas right here that picture God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and three different pictures of a sinner. One that's lost in the distance, one that's lost in the dirt, one that's lost in disgrace. And the Father is waiting at the house saying, would you please come back? I've got the Son looking for you. I got the Holy Spirit looking for you. And I'm going to stay at the house waiting to receive. And he said, who comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing? But let me find a good stopping point. No amens, please. You got silly sheep, soiled silver. Now, if you're up north, it's soiled. Down south, it's just soiled. It's one syllable, not two. You got silly sheep, you got soiled silver. And you got a selfish son in that parable. And Jesus answers his critics. The sheep, 1 out of 100. The silver, 1 out of 10. The son, 1 out of 1. Or actually had 2 sons, 1 out of 2. And you know, this is how Jesus answered his critics. They said, hey, you don't need to be going to their house eating. Jesus, you ought to know better than that. And he answers them this way. You know what makes heaven happy? Pharisees, Sadducees, you know what makes heaven happy? One person. The value of one person. Whether it's 1 out of 100, whether it's 1 out of 10, or if it's 1 out of 2. He says, I'm concerned about them.
Right.
I come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19, about verse number 11, that's what Jesus said. The Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
Are you lost this morning? Let me close with this. Look at verse 5. There's a whole series of preaching right here, and we might do a little more of it tonight on this silver. But I'm going to close on this sheep right here. Look at verse 5. And when he had found it, he found the sheep, he laid it on his what? Has that got an S on the end of it? Both of them, both shoulders. He laid the sheep on both shoulders. And then he says, rejoicing. Sometimes a sheep gets lost. He's down here off the cliff there. And that old shepherd, he's got one of them crooks. A staff that got a little crook on the end of it. He turned it upside down. He'll reach down there and pick the little fella up under his arms, put him back up on the path. Then he'll lean down, pick that sheep up. Both front legs in this hand, both back legs in this hand. You'll throw it sheep over his shoulders. Both of them, shoulders. S, right? If you got time, look at Isaiah 9 and verse 6. I'm going to quote it, but I want you to see it. Isaiah 9, 6 says this. For unto us a child is born. That happened in Bethlehem. Unto us a son is given. That happened on Calvary. One of these days, there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign. And Isaiah 9, 6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government... Is everybody there looking at it?
Yes.
And the government shall be upon what? One or two?
One.
Just got everybody looking? No S. If you got a good Bible, it should be no S, just one shoulder. Is everybody with me? All right, you're all looking at me going, okay, so what? So what? Now listen, when you see this, you fix and take your songbook and throw it plumb up in the tile ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ carries His government on one shoulder. But when He picks up sheep, He gives you both of them.
Amen.
I almost jumped off His stage. Hallelujah. There shouldn't be any question when we leave this building this morning. If God the Father don't love you. No more high priest, Old Testament. They had the breastplate on. Had the stones, 12 stones right here in the front. Representing the 12 tribes of Israel. They had these little two stones that held this thing together. And on there is the nation of Israel. But when He picks up the sheep, gives him both shoulders. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you may be in the room this morning lost. You may be lost in the distance. You may just be wandering off. Maybe you don't come to church as much as you used to, and you're just sort of just wandering a little bit. Hey, we've all done. I ain't downing on you. We've all done that. We've all wandered off. Some of you in the room, I don't know everybody, but some of you in the room may be lost over here in the dirt somewhere. And you didn't know till today, till you heard this message, you didn't even know that you was lost. And I may somebody be in the room right now, sitting on a church pew, come to church every time the door's open, got a good mom and daddy raised in church, and you're just lost. I'm here to say, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is glad when a sinner comes to Him. And the Son and the Holy Spirit is searching and seeking this morning. And the Father is still at the house waiting to receive you. Picks that sheep up, puts them on his shoulder. You know where they're headed? Back to the house. We're headed to the house. Oh, I know, I ain't talking about your house wherever you live today. I'm talking about we headed to the house. That's what the old country folks used to say. We headed to the house. And He's going to sit down and receive you. And there's going to be a meal there prepared just for you. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Heavenly Father,